warning and says other agencies are looking at their own people too. For example, the State Department and the DEA.
They've now issued a statement saying that they're unaware that anything went wrong on that trip, but they will investigate whether or not these claims are credible. Veronica?
The president travels to Georgia today. He'll visit the Fort Stewart Army Post, where he'll sign an order to protect military families from GI Bill scams. Here's NBC's Scott Walterman.
There's little the federal government can do to shut down diploma mills, but the new protections would make it harder for post-secondary and technical schools to misrepresent themselves to military students.
The order, among other things, would make sure that the government got a trademark for the term GI Bill. This is NBC News Radio. The House votes today on student loan interest rates. Democrats want to pay for the program by erasing subsidies to oil and gas companies. Republicans by cutting back on the health care overhaul law. The cow in California that was found to have mad cow disease has been put down. It became lame and started lying down. The Space Shuttle Enterprise flies to New York today. It will become part of the Intrepid Air and Space Museum in Manhattan. As expected last night, Andrew Luck was the number one draft pick in the NFL.
With the first pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Andrew Luck, quarterback, Stanford.
Number two pick was Robert Griffin III, or RG3 as he's called. The New Jersey Devils are going to round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They beat the Florida Panthers last night in overtime. Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. are expecting their second child. The Hollywood couple has a two-year-old daughter named Charlotte Grace. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
Attention residents of this neighborhood. My name is Dave, and I'm opening a new sporting goods store right down the street. So listen, if you're into sporting goods, stop in and buy some of my competitively priced gear. You won't regret it.
There's an easier, more effective way to find the customers that matter most. With Everydoor direct mail from the Postal Service, you can reach every home, every address, every time. Visit usps.com/mail to learn more.
One more thing. Since I'm here, has anyone seen my cat?
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Amazon.com may sell all kinds of things, but it is the Kindle Fire keeping the earnings fires burning. The company has posted first quarter profits that blew by analysts' expectations despite falling 35% from a year ago. Amazon says that is due to investment in its business that it expects to pay off in the future. Sales actually went the other way, with revenue up 34% thanks to the Kindle, topping $13 billion. Amazon shares jumping pre-market. Starbucks has managed to brew up another strong quarter, but Europe is proving to be a tough nut to crack. While bottom-line profits for the coffee company were strong, global sales at established shops fell short of analyst estimates due to weakness in Europe. More profit reports slated to get Wall Street's attention this morning. We're waiting to hear from Ford, as well as blue chips Procter & Gamble, Chevron, and Merck. S&P futures are in the red by about a half point now. NASDAQ futures, though, are rising 4 points, while Dow futures are in the plus column by 3. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment, and during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. With more discounts than ever before, Progressive can save you a lot of money on your car insurance.
Savings.
Oh, you can get bigger savings than that.
Savings.
That's close, but you can really save a lot of money.
You're going to get some savings. Savings.
Much better.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell parts. We introduce exclusive best-in-class parts, like new Wearever Platinum, the overall best-performing ceramic brake pad available. According to an independent test, Wearever Platinum delivers better stopping power and a quieter stop compared to other leading brands. And new Wearever Platinum is only available at Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning. It is Friday, the 27th day of April. The 27th day of April, 2012. 27th day. I know I, you know, why am I repeating that over and over again? I just can't believe that we're almost done with the month. Yesterday was a difficult day for Democrats and democracy. And we're going to talk about that a great deal as we work through our day today. I'm angry. I'm angry today. I'm very angry today. Mostly at a Republican legislature and Republicans in the state of Michigan in general that have any power at all. They have found a way. They have found a way, ladies and gentlemen, to extract every ounce of that power to mess with democracy. Now, listen, we can be offended, and we are. We can get angry, and God knows I am this morning. I am very angry this morning. But we cannot allow them. We cannot allow them to get the best of us. Now, we'll come back to this in just a few moments, but I'm telling you right now, any Republican leadership, especially Rochester's own Tom McMillan, public enemy number one. That guy is the biggest piece of brown waste we have ever elected. We have ever elected to state office. Just blows my mind that the people of Rochester can even look anybody in the eye over Tom McMillan. I'm serious. This guy is literally a fecal material personified. Seriously, he is. You don't believe me? Go to the record. Go to the legislative record and read anything he says. He is so full of, you know what. Anyway, we're going to get to all that. At some point, and I almost did this, and I didn't even mention it to Jeff this morning, but I almost said, you know what, let's just cancel our guest today. Because I just need to vent for 3 hours. I almost did that. And I thought, you know, that's not going to be the most mature way to do this. Because there's a lot of other stuff that we can bring to you. Not that we're not going to have plenty of time to vent, because we do. Joe DeSano will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm sure he's got plenty on his mind. In the 7 o'clock hour, Tim Dubnot will be with us from the Communication Workers of America. They have put together a site that I'm very fond of. And a website that I'm very fond of. So I wanted to share that with you. So we'll do that this morning. Of course, Occupy Detroit will be with us. Shannon McEvely will be joining us at 7:50. And then it'll just mostly be about us today. But it's not going to be a fun morning. And I hate to end the week this way, but it is what it is. All right, with that said, let's get started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Cowards. Cowards. If you are a Republican in the state of Michigan and you have a say in any kind of policy or decision-making capacity, you are a coward. That is now clear. after the State Board of Canvassers, which have two Republicans and two Democrats on it, needs to make a decision with regard to Public Act 4. And, of course, Jill, we've already gone through the story, so I'm not going to recount the whole thing. It's about font size, right? At the end of the day, that was the only thing they could find. And the two cowards, Republicans, cowards on the State Board of Canvassers didn't do the right thing. So now there's going to be a legal challenge. This delays lots of stuff. It's just wrong. It is about just not honoring democracy. Folks, well over 220,000 people signed a petition. Well over 200,000 of those signatures were valid, which is more than enough by 40,000 that they needed to place this on the ballot. Let the people speak at the ballot box. Cowards. Legislatively, the Republicans passed a budget yesterday for education. Oh, by the way, more cowards. Revenue sharing for cities. More cowards. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not wake up and change the face of Lansing on November 6th, God be with you. It's going to be an interesting morning. Our first word this morning are cowards. Now, no coward in and of himself, of course, is Jeff Radford. And Jeff, you'll notice that I've held this animus and anger all morning, because you had no idea I was this angry, did you?
I sensed it yesterday when I talked to you on the phone, and I had an interesting phone call with you. But I didn't know that it was going to come out so early.
I'm telling you, dude. This is beginning to feel personal. And if it doesn't feel personal for some people, what the hell's wrong with them? Anyway, we'll come back to it. We got actually a lot to talk about today. Now, the Tigers lost yesterday, and that's in and of itself, but big news right after the game was over, and of course I'm talking about the releasing of Brandon Inge.
Oh, you're not talking about the calling up of Brad Eldred?
No, well, we can talk about that, but I think the bigger news is, because most people would go, Brad who? Everybody kind of knows.
Most people would go Inge who at this point.
No, that's not true, unfortunately. Unfortunately, that's not true.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Listen, he's been here 11 years. It's not like I don't have some love for Brandon Inge. They should have never called him up at all. He shouldn't have made it through spring training. In fact, he should have been done last year. Jeff, you and I were at the Stephanie Miller little thing last year, the Sexy Liberal Tour concert or whatever.
And Inge had a great day.
Yes, he did have a great day. And that was the last great day he had as a Detroit Tiger.
He just won them a game this year with a home run against Kansas City.
Jeff. His batting average is 190. Do we really need to go through statistically what he's done?
You just claimed his last great day was that day.
His last great day was that day. Just because he hit a home run and won a game this year was not a great day.
Why not?
Because it wasn't.
I
don't have to agree with you, Jeff. You're not going to change my mind.
I guess not.
Brandon should have left last year.
Well, that's fine. That's not what the thing that we were just talking about was.
You're picking the wrong morning to challenge me.
I know.
You're really picking the wrong morning. Yesterday, I would have agreed with you. Not today.
All right.
Not today. You're right.
You should have got rid of him a long time ago.
There you go. Well, anyway, he's gone. I do feel a little bit bad that this much time with a ball club. Listen, in modern day sports, you know, a lot of guys aren't with the club for 11 years. So
yeah, but don't feel too bad. I mean, he's still going to get a $6 million payout. I feel bad for the Tigers not getting any return on that money, but I don't feel bad for Inge, because I think he's gonna sign a deal with like the Phillies or somebody to be their 25th guy, because he's not a top 24 guy. He's obviously the last guy on anyone's roster, and defensively they'll test him out, and he'll make his $6 million from the Tigers plus his whatever he signs the deal for So he's double dipping the rest of this year.
Well, he is, and good for him. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, that's what that's about. It was interesting because I was watching the weather right before the show started, and they were talking about how cold it was in Washtenaw, which is where Brandon Inge happens to live. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's going to have the day to, you know, wait around, see what happens, let it warm up a little bit, because Daddy's staying home from work today.
You know, I started thinking, too, he probably will go out and try and find a job in baseball somewhere else to play baseball. But in the end, don't you think the Tiger, well, I don't even know if that, I was going to say, don't you think the Tigers bring him back? He's a great community guy, goes and does all this stuff. I guess he doesn't have to work for the Tigers to still work in the community, but I can see them, you know, putting him somewhere.
Making him a coach?
No. I mean, like, working in the community. Outreach or, you know.
Like a Willie Horton kind of job.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
All right. Well, I just can't. I'm trying to visualize.
I know, but when you put Willie Horton and then Brandon Inge next to each other, like, a lot of people know who both guys are right now. But in the course of history, more people remember Willie Horton than they will Brandon Inge.
I would think that's true, of course. Yeah, I would think that's true. Well, again, it's kind of hard not to, you know, he's going to make $6 million. He can sign, you know, in a lot of ball clubs. And I think where he does have, maybe a chance to play on another club this year is they can sign him for whatever the veteran minimum is. And I don't know what that number is. You might. I don't. But it's not, I mean, in keeping it in perspective, it's not a lot of money. But he doesn't need to worry about that because he's still getting $6 million, which is the $5.5 million on his contract and the $500,000 buyout for next year's contract. So all things being equal. I feel bad for the guy only in that. I'm sure you either read the interview with him or heard it. I read it. I didn't hear it. But, you know, he talked about how important the city is to him, and I don't question all that. I believe all that. I think he loves the city of Detroit, and I think he loves being a Detroit Tiger, and he says that he's 100% behind the team and blah, 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 blah. So, anyway, you know, we'll wish him well, that's for sure. Let's take a quick break here. We'll wrap up this conversation. Of course, the draft was last night. The Detroit Lions did have a selection, and they did make a pick. We'll talk about who that is. Anthony and Jeff will both ring in on that. And, of course, we're always interested in hearing from you. Whether you're angry or not like me, doesn't matter. Give us a call, 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. Happy Friday morning to you. Or maybe not too happy, but it's a Friday morning. We'll take that and be back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. No incidents or accidents to report on your Friday commute so far. Couple of construction notes. 94 eastbound at Pelham Road. They will have construction on the ramp starting at 9 a.m. and on 696 in both directions at Ryan Road. You're going to have construction that starts tonight at 9. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan
Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th.
And your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event.
And is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Deb Hauser, the president and executive director of Advocates for You.
We can stop HIV in this generation if we're willing to do the hard work. We can create a generation who's more willing to talk to their own kids about sexuality and sexual health. And we know that parent-child communication about sexuality is one of the number one factors that helps young people to delay sexual initiation when they're too young and to use contraception and protection when they do become sexually active.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now, time to punch back in.
Absolutely. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. All right. So Brandon Engine's gone. They're bringing up the big bat from Toledo. Let's hope that matters. But at the end of the day, one part of the problem that we need to quickly address, although you said it was either yesterday or the day before, Jeff, that we're still early in the season. Maybe we don't need to be too totally concerned, but we're not really playing well right now. I mean, we started off pretty red hot, but the Tigers are not playing well right now.
Nope, not right now. But you know what? They got swept by the Mariners last April as well. So the Mariners have their number. They aren't playing well, but I love the panic. A friend of mine was texting me yesterday after the game and was like, you should hear the guys I'm listening to on the radio. I'm like, well, what's going on? They're saying the Tigers are going to be lucky to be 500 this year. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Oh, if that's the case, then Albert Pujols is the worst American League player, even, well, I guess slightly better than Brandon Inge. But the Angels are horrible, right? The Angels have like three stud pitchers and the best hitter in all of baseball, and they're struggling right now. But do you think that they're only going to have like 50 wins at the end of the season? That's ridiculous. Same with the Tigers. They're going through a bad stretch. But as soon as Prince figures things out and the rest of the lineup comes through as well, that's the biggest struggle. You think Inge, who the new Inge is going to be? It's going to be Rayburn pretty soon if he doesn't start hitting as well. And as a defensive team, they're not playing well. So it's just a small stretch.
It was really interesting because there was an article in the paper where they interviewed some of the Tigers about Brandon Inge being released, and Ryan Rayburn was one of the guys that they had reached out to, and I was expecting to read, I'm just glad it wasn't me. But he didn't, of course, say that. We'll leave it alone. All right, the NFL draft was last night. We'll bring Anthony into the conversation because, Anthony and I have been together now 21 years or so. I happen to know that this is an important night for him. I was in bed when basically right after the draft started because I couldn't. There's no way I was going to wait up until the 23rd round.
You know how I know it was an important night for Anthony?
Why?
During the show yesterday, he had an hourly countdown for me.
Really?
17 hours, or I don't even remember what the heck the countdown was, in 30 minutes until tonight or whatever. And I'm like, what are you talking? It dawned on me, he's counting down the NFL draft.
Yeah. Now, welcome to my world. And it used to be when they did lots of different things on draft day instead of just the first round. So, Anthony, I guess I've never, maybe I have asked you this, but do you like the updated format? You know, different rounds on different days? Is this the way you prefer it, or would you have rather they just continued on last night?
I personally like how it was in 2 days, but it's not bad. I mean, I can't complain. I mean, I like that they do one round one day, but I did like how they jam-packed it all in the 2 days before.
Okay, well, so we'll start with you, eh? Let's talk about the Lions pick at 23. We don't have the commissioner. We don't have any audio, but at least I don't think we do. Do we, Jeff? No, we don't. Not on the commissioner. So number 23, who did the Lions pick?
Riley Reiff, big offensive tackle out of Iowa. I like the pick. I mean, he was supposed to go, top 15 type of guy, but he fell to us, and it was either between him and DeCastro out of Stanford, and I personally would have went after the tackle, which we did, and not bad.
All right. Jeff, your thoughts on Anthony's assessment, or your own assessment of the Lions?
No, I can only discuss his assessment, and it was a good one. How's that?
Okay.
Now, going back, first of all, to the first thing you asked him, the two-day fiasco.
Yes.
He's right. I mean, it was like one of those days where those 2 day sets where you and your guys, your friends got together, and like it was like it was focused solely on hours and hours of flipping back and forth between NFL Network and ESPN, and you had all your food set out, and it was like that was where you were going to be for 2 days. It was crazy. I mean, I used to go hang out with guys. Spend the night, obviously, because, you wake up the next morning and the draft is, bam, it's clicking and moving fast, and you got to, figure out who the Lions are going to take. It was an event. I mean, it still is an event, but at least I kind of like it being spaced out a little more, because the first round feels way different than the rest of the round, so it is separate.
Well, of course, the whole point of doing it this way is they figured out a way to monetize the draft. I mean, it's a moneymaker for the NFL. If you can fathom that, it is. And they found a way to monetize it with the sports networks. And hey, go for it. Advertising revenue.
You know where I think they got that from is Major League Baseball, who now does their first round. The baseball draft is incredible. It's like 100 and some rounds long, and it's just so ridiculous how many people you draft. But they actually do put the first round on TV now. And so the NFL was like, oh, okay, you separate your first round? I see how that is.
Well, I'll never know if that's why it happened, but so be it. What do the Lions, and again, we'll bring Anthony back into the conversation as well, Jeff, but what do the Lions need to do now in the next few rounds? Who do they need to go after?
Yeah, good question. I'm with Anthony. I think getting the tackle, especially the guy they got, sounds like he's a three-time state wrestling champion. That just shows me his agility and his competitiveness. That alone, and the fact that he can play four out of the five positions on the line, I'm real impressed with who they got.
So the rest of their picks don't matter to you?
I mean, it's hard to go through and say, well, here's what they need, obviously I'd like to see him go defensive back. I'd love a linebacker, a couple of them probably. For the longest time, I've been the guy who says focus mostly on the defense. I can see going offensive line because you have some holes there, but go mostly defense the rest of this draft.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I think they have to go mostly defense for some obvious reasons, especially in the secondary. A, your thoughts on this?
Just more of the same defense, linebackers, corners, DNs, everything.
All right, well,
It's funny because I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's all right.
I was trying to stay up last night. I had planned to take a nap during the day, that way a long nap, so I could get up at 8, watch the draft until the Lions picked. Of course, I got through about 10 picks, fell asleep. I woke up just in time. I swear, I don't know how this happened, but I woke up just in time for this to happen.
To announce the Detroit Lions selection, please welcome Lions wide receiver and Madden NFL 13 cover athlete, Calvin Johnson.
And I couldn't believe they brought him on for this pick.
Very honored to be voted by you, the fan, 20 million deep, to the cover of Madden 13. And with that, the 23rd pick of the 2012 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Riley Reiff.
Okay. So we did have
So there's
somebody.
Your audio.
There we go. All right. What time, by the way, was the 23rd pick?
Geez. Good. Ask Anthony.
I think it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock-ish.
Okay. Yeah, there's no way. No way I'm staying up that late for a pick. All right. We got plenty to get to. Public Act 4. It will be the talk of the town today, but for all the wrong reasons. Oh, do you believe in democracy? And then maybe it's time we consider leaving the state of Michigan, because it seems that those that are in the know don't believe in democracy here in Michigan any longer. I'll explain it all on the other side. This is First Shift. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning. No incidents or accidents to report on your Friday commute so far. Couple of construction notes. 94 eastbound at Pelham Road. They'll have construction on the ramp starting at 9 a.m. and on 696 in both directions at Ryan Road. They're going to have construction that starts tonight at 9. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The corporate money coup over America's electoral democracy has rampaged through the Republican presidential primaries and is now surging with even greater fierceness into this fall's general election. A handful of millionaires and billionaires pooling their corporate cash into secretive political arsenals called super PACs, which technically are independent from the candidates' campaigns. They dominated the GOP race. The one backing Mitt Romney, called Restore Our Future, was by far the richest, and it has made him the nominee. In this brave new world of millionaire-and-up politics, size matters. Not the size of the candidate's heart or ideas, but the size of the super PAC, which is now far richer than the candidates themselves. Against President Obama, not only will Restore Our Future be flush with special interest cash, but the super rich are also rolling out an even bigger, super-sized super PAC to back Romney. Created by political attack meister Karl Rove and called American Crossroads, it intends to pound Obama relentlessly with a staggering $200 million in bloody, ugly, negative campaign ads. Just three Texas billionaires, Bob Perry, Harold Simmons, and Robert Rowling, have already primed Restore Our Future with $4.4 million, while also putting $16.5 million into American Crossroads. Just three men, $20 million, with much more to come, all three intent on spending whatever it takes to buy a presidency that will serve corporate power generally and do governmental favors for their corporations specifically. This is Jim Hightower saying, to the barricades, people. This crass coup attempt must be exposed and defeated, but also the Supreme Court's disastrous Citizens United decision, which allowed such a plutocratic threat to arise, must be repealed. Go to democracyisforpeople.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Anthony and Jeff, you will both get a charge out of the email that I just received. There's kind of something in it for all of us, if nothing else, to entertain. Pat in Dearborn writes, Tony, when you and Jeffrey were talking about Anthony's big night tonight, for just one second, I thought Anthony's big night might involve a girl. However, I realized quickly it was the NFL draft. And then she goes on to write, P.S., I am angry as you are about the EFM petition. I do hope you are able to read this because I just realized the font size may be too small. God bless. Well, Pat, you are right. I could read it just fine, by the way. And yes, you are also right. It was not 14-point font. But, you know, let's ask ourselves this question. Are all 14-point fonts created equal? The answer to that is, of course, no. So, going back to our first word this morning, which is coward, or cowards, which the Republican Board of Canvassers are, as well as the state legislature, Republicans in the state legislature. Let us go to some audio. We've got we're going to explore this in some great detail. Let's start with a bunch of audio from WXYZ TV Channel 7. Go ahead with our first clip.
This is a tough loss for those who wanted to overturn the emergency manager law, and there was a lot of anger today after the vote. The decision by the State Board of Canvassers means, as of now, the emergency manager law will not go into a vote in November, and that realization seemed to pour fuel on a smoldering fire. Here's what happened when the vote went down. The two Republicans who voted not to support the petition said they did so because the font size on the petition was too small. All told, petitioners got 226,000 signatures to put the issue on the ballot. That's 40,000 more than required. A group called Citizens for Fiscal Responsibility challenged the petition, saying the font size was not in compliance with state law.
Oh, spare me. We already know that the past legal challenges to that very question have been overturned. And this looks like it's going to go to court, but we'll come back to that. Our second clips, let's just go with the audio.
We believe our course was just and our campaign honorable. We gathered all those signatures on an entirely volunteer basis. Some worked because they saw potential for abuse from this law. Others work because they experience the actual abuse built into this law.
There needs to be three votes to certify anything. A tie means the proposal is not certified. It certainly does not mean that the proposal is dead. It just means you need to take it to court.
All right. Well, folks, you know, I'm going to make this really simple for you. This shouldn't have never gone to court. The Board of Canvassers should have done the right thing. In fact, one of the members of the Board of Canvassers should have recused himself because where he happens to work happens to be the same location where a right-wing group that was challenging the petitioners happens to be located. Is that just a coincidence? I think not, and nor do any of you. So don't try to get clever with me this morning. Not be a good morning to do that. Detroit Federation of Teachers President Keith Johnson is angry, and he has a right to be angry. This is what he had to say.
That's exactly what opponents of the emergency manager law are now determined to do next. They intend to take their fight to the Court of Appeals to try and force the repeal issue to be placed on the ballot.
Meantime, the emergency manager issue not being on the ballot is a very important subject for the Detroit School District, where some different types of emergency managers have been running things there since 2009.
President for the Detroit Federation of Teachers was in Lansing today, and he calls the ruling a slap in the face.
Stop question. Democracy was ignored.
Teachers with the Detroit Public Schools had hoped for a petition approval to help them start to get out from underneath the thumb of their emergency manager.
But you, in essence, told over 200,000 citizens of the state of Michigan, along with the hundreds of people who gathered these petitions, that their effort, their voice, their vote doesn't matter.
Union President Keith Johnson says since Roy Roberts was appointed EM last year, 200 of their teachers have been laid off.
Really makes you wonder, you know, is Michigan really on the verge of sending a message to the rest of the nation that our democratic principles no longer matter?
And that is, and I do agree with Keith Johnson. I believe that the state of Michigan is clearly sending a message to the rest of the country that if you want to live in a state, maybe this should be our new motto. If you want to live in a state that has dictatorial powers and is run by a Kaiser, come to Michigan. All right, one more piece of audio, and then we'll get to the phones. Let's just wrap up the Channel 7 piece with this.
The state began to intervene in the financial problems of DPS in 2009 when they appointed their first emergency financial manager. Johnson says EMs have too much power now because they can also make decisions regarding academics.
So he's moving us on the path towards fiscal solvency. But on matters of academics, we are nowhere near where we should be, and I really question whether we're moving in the right direction academically.
E.M. Roy Roberts would not go on camera, but released this statement to 7 Action News, saying in part, in DPS's case, the added provisions are not ones that all have to be exercised to be effective. And in fact, I have chosen a course to work with the union leadership and the elected board. Johnson says he's confident the Michigan Court of Appeals will overturn the ruling and people will get to vote on it. From Detroit, Julie Bonovich, 7 Action News.
I'm going to tell you right now, this the Court of Appeals doesn't do the right thing. Don't even want to go there right now, but we are going to go to the phones. You know, I'm glad I took my blood pressure medication this morning. I'm telling you, this I am really, really angry. We do have a call in to Brandon Jessup with Michigan Forward. If we hear from him this morning, we'll get him on the air. 888-552-3595. Les in Detroit joins us now. Les, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Good morning, fellow Patriots. Tony, see, is the word ethical behavior mean anything to these people?
No.
Does the democracy mean anything to these people?
No.
Does the will of the people mean anything to these people?
No.
Are they living the same country we living in?
Unfortunately, yeah, but that's about the only thing we share is that we happen to share a little real estate. I'm disgusted, Les.
Tony, you know, in a way, I knew the handwriting was on the wall when I found out it was two Republican people on this board of canvassing. You know, see, this is this partisan politics that, you know, we need to stop in America. We don't get anything done if we don't work together. Back in the day when I was coming up, I seen Republicans and Democrats work together to make a better society. It's got that. When are we going to stop being hijacked by these gangsters in Lansing? This is pathetic.
It's all about money. Les, it's all about money. It's about corporate control. It's about the American Legislative Exchange Council. It's about everything you could possibly hate about politics coming to fruition. That's what it's about. It's about people with money buying the government that they want. That's what the hell this is about, Les.
Is this that's the new dictatorship by payment?
Yep, absolutely.
No forces. You get cash, and you can sell your country out down the river.
Yeah, Les, I'm going to make this real. Thank you for your call. I'm going to make this so simple for everybody. Our government is no longer about checks and balances. Our government is just about checks, as in send me some. That's all it's about. You think it's about anything but that, you're crazy. But you do have a say in it. But you better do something about it before you no longer have a say in it. 888-552-3595. My good friend Bamani in Detroit joins us now on First Shift. How are you, brother?
How you doing, brother man? You all right?
No, I'm not all right.
Yeah, I'm not all right either. I'm mad, too. I thought of Rachel Maddow last night with Reverend Bullock on it, and I don't know what to say. I mean, sometimes you can understand what Malik Shabazz says. You can understand. You can understand the feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I understand the feeling. I understand the anger. I mean, The last thing I want to do is incite any kind of violence, because it solves nothing. It doesn't solve anything. But Bamani, if I got to talk a little louder, then I'm happy to do it.
Right. Well, whatever we need to do, we definitely need to do it. But, you know, I mean, these people don't seem to understand doing it the right way. So what else? I mean, hopefully they'll do it the right way. But
They're ignoring that. They're ignoring doing it the right way.
And, you know, we can't trust these Republicans. You know, you heard what the Catholics said about Paul Ryan last night. Well, if you were up, I don't know.
I was not. What did they say? I missed that.
Well, they came out, you know, against the Paul Ryan budget because it decimates programs for the poor and feeding the poor. And Paul Ryan had to come back and say, well, this is according to my Catholic faith. And they responded back. They said, you're wrong. This is not what the Catholic faith is about. You're supposed to be helping. This is not what Jesus is about. You're supposed to be helping the poor. And they kind of went back and forth. I thought maybe the Catholics would stop after one response, but they kind of went back and forth, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, Bamani, it goes back to something, and thanks for the call, baby. We got to get to the break. But it goes back to what Bob King, the president of the UAW, has said over a year ago. Budgets are moral documents. They are moral documents. Some of you don't get that. You just happen to be Republican. You happen to be conservative. You happen to be really freaking selfish. I wasn't raised that way. I didn't raise my children that way. And I will be damned if I'm going to let anybody get in the way of what really needs to happen to take care of us in our society, including fighting for democracy. Let's take the break. We'll come back. More calls on the other side. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012, at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, as keynote speakers George Powell and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, the MichiganSummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now to talk about this recall effort of Troy Mayor Janice Daniels is Matt Bentowski and John Kulas.
This is really about protecting the image of Troy, I think. It's clear that even after a few moments of Mayor Daniels taking office, she made Troy a hotbed of controversy, not just locally, but on a national level. And that's inherently damaging to the city of Troy, I think.
First Shift with Tony Tria
on 1310. WDTW.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 7 o'clock, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. A little more audio, but before we get to the audio... this is all over a technicality. This is over a technicality. And that technicality is font size. Go to eclectablog.com and you'll find an article on this. You'll find Chris Savage did a great dialogue on this. Now, legally, let me explain this to you. Legally, there's precedent, legal precedent to this font size challenge that favors getting this on the ballot. I don't trust the courts. I don't. Not in any way. I don't. I do not trust our courts. Republicans are dishonest pieces of garbage. We gave them, by virtue of either voting or not voting, and for some of you, you got to wear that. I'm not one of them. Yeah, I guess they do have to wear it because I have to live with the consequences of some of you not voting in 2010. WDIV Channel 4, this piece on the font size, because, you know, size does matter. Let's listen.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay, the petition is not certified.
The vote, 2-2, along party lines. Three votes would have assured the question would have gone to the November ballot. More than 100 people, many who fought the emergency manager in Detroit, were here and angry.
Shame!
Now, you may wonder why a petition drive that had more than 200,000 valid signatures gets the thumbs down by the Board of Canvassers. Well, here is the reason. You see this? It says referendum of legislation. Well, state law says this has to be 14-point font, and it's not. What's the difference between the two? Here it is. Yet that tiny difference mattered greatly to Vice Chairman Norm Schinkel.
None of this would have occurred today had they had their petition approved, like almost everyone else does with our staff. The petition was defective.
Defective. All right, I'll come back to that. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce, thanks for giving us a call this morning. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, Tony. I love when you get on a rant.
I'm really angry this morning, Bruce. I'm telling you, the stuff that we're doing next Saturday, if there's not a big crowd there, I mean a big crowd. If there's not a big crowd there next Saturday, I'm going to be really disappointed.
You and me both, but I hope your listeners, I hope everyone that's listening this morning comes to Lansing next Saturday. Even come early, 1:30, 2 o'clock. We're going to start at 2, but we've got a great rally planned, and if people are angry, they need to come out, support the rally, and then go to work and put their anger to work to recall Governor Snyder.
Well, here's the deal. You know, you of course, are the one that was responsible for initially educating this audience to ELEC. You saw a year ago, Bruce, the dangers of the American Legislative Exchange Council. I would suggest you knew even earlier than that, but I've only been on the air a year, so that's as far back as I can go with you on this topic. At the end of the day, yes, Rachel Maddow covers the emergency manager law again last night. They talk about all this stuff, getting national attention. Bruce, at the end of the day, this is all about what we need to do to change the culture in Lansing. If we don't get rid of this governor and we don't get rid of this legislature, none of it matters because they can continue to do what they want to do. And I don't know if you heard what I said at the top of the show, but Tom McMillan has got to go. Got to go.
I agree with you. I heard everything you said. I loved it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I got a, you know, I got a some kind of email yesterday to call his office to, you know, encourage him to vote against the cyber school bill. But I knew he was one of the sponsors. I knew that wasn't going to do any good. I called him anyway. But, you know, knowing it wasn't going to do any good. And he is so in bed with Alec. I mean, that those cyber bills, K-12 is a big supporter. The K-12 company is a big supporter of Alec. And we've got him on the run. We've got to get every legislator in the state of Michigan that's affiliated with Alec to disavow their affiliation, drop their membership. Because if they don't have the legislators, they don't have anything. They're the link, and if they drop out, Alec is done, and we need to get rid of Alec and anything that follows Alec.
Help me with the last name here, Joanna, the woman that's running against Tom McMillan in Rochester.
Oh, Joanna Van Rapport.
Yes, and I'm going to have her on the show soon. I want people to pay attention to that race for a couple of reasons. Number one, we need to get rid of him, and it's not going to be easy. Let's say that up front. But I think it's, Bruce, it's important to point out that this would be one of those races. We talked about this on the show yesterday. This would be one of those races that if you have $10, you need to send it to Joanna. She needs to be funded.
JoannaForRochester.com.
Yeah, she needs to be funded. We, you know, she's, no one's going to take her seriously if she doesn't have money. She needs money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She needs money and she needs volunteers, and we need to help her because you said everything, every word you said about Tom McMillan is right. In fact, I was at one of his town hall meetings. I was filming it. One of his supporters basically attacked me. You know, kind of, I was filming him and he kind of whacked at me with his hand while I was filming him. And I asked Tom for his name because I was thinking of filing charges. Tom wouldn't even give me the name because he's someone I've seen at other town hall meetings, so I know he knows his name, and he's a big supporter. He wouldn't even give me his name. He wouldn't even speak to me. I mean, he is such a piece of you-know-what.
Cowards. Cowards,
and,
Bruce.
Oh, he is awful. He is just awful, and we need to help Joanna take that race and, you know, get back the House of Representatives for the Democrats in November and get rid of Governor Snyder. And I always think, whenever I say Snyder, I think Walker because they're one and the same.
Actually, it was funny because we were, you know, as you know, we played the labor news at the bottom of the second hour every day, and they actually identified Rick Snyder as Scott Walker yesterday, accidentally, but it was, of course, it made sense. I still knew who they were talking about because they're one and the same. Bruce, thanks so much for the call.
And Snyder's worse than Walker in every single way.
Yeah, though there's no question that's true. Thank you, Bruce. And you know, and the reason, you know, and I talked about this with the folks in Grosse Pointe the other night. The reason that Rick Snyder is so bad is that he talks a great game, and you people, some of you actually listen to him. You actually go, but he said this, but he said this, but he said that, but he said this. Rick Snyder is a right-wing whack job. Do you realize that he's only vetoed one piece of legislation, and it was insignificant? It was an insignificant piece of legislation. This guy is a right-wing whack job. They're all, every Republican in the state of Michigan that has any power at all, bought and paid for by either the American Legislative Exchange Council or other corporate donors. Follow the money. I don't make this stuff up. I just report it. If you think my anger subsides when we change topics, think again. Because with every break we have today, with every time we're going to come back to open lines, I'm going to be ranting. We need to wake up. We need to stop this insanity. Snyder has to go. Tom McMillan has to go. Randy Richardville has to go. Jace Bulger has to go. They all need to go. Let Democrats and democracy rule. We will take a break for the top of the hour. Traffic and weather, NBC headline news coming up. Stay where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift.
Hey, hey, well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey, said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your love?
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
All we have is construction right now. 94 eastbound at Pelham Road. Going to have construction on the ramp starting at 9 a.m. and a big one on 75. It will be closed in both directions starting tonight and going over the weekend between 4th Street and Schaefer for bridge work. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. The latest snapshot on the economy due out shortly, and most analysts are predicting moderate growth on the order of 2.5%. Economist Richard Kelly.
The real question today is not necessarily the headline number. I mean, we're already well past the first quarter, and I think lots of people are already looking to the employment numbers. So it's more, do we get the details we want? Do we see good consumer demand that should be in these numbers?
On Wall Street, the Dow starts the day up 114 points as pending home sales jumped 4% to their highest level in 2 years. The House votes today on a bill that would extend lower interest on student loans, but it's headed for conflict with the Senate version. House Republicans want to pay for it by slashing funds for the Health Care Reform Act. And Space Shuttle Enterprise gets a piggyback ride to the Big Apple today on its way to a new retirement home, the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum. The shuttle, piggybacked on a 747, will fly over the Statue of Liberty and other landmarks en route to Kennedy Airport. This is NBC News Radio. The embattled Secret Service facing new misconduct allegations dating back to a trip to El Salvador last year. NBC's Kristen Welker.
These allegations point to the central concern in all of this, which is that perhaps what happened in Cartagena is not an isolated incident, that perhaps this is a part of a larger cultural problem.
The White House, Pentagon, and Congress all want to get to the bottom of it. Chrysler continues to march back from near death with a whopping first quarter profit, up more than 300%. In fact, Chrysler sales are so strong, they're keeping parent company Fiat in the black. A black eye for the Bobcats. Charlotte's NBA franchise lost again last night and hit the record books. Worst winning percentage in NBA history. And Aloha Pro Bowl? The NFL appears poised to phase out its much maligned All-Star game as early as next season. Not because of ratings, but because of the quality of play. A lot of fans say it's barely watchable. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jenting, NBC News Radio.
My dad's Mercedes E-Class has 26,000 miles on it, but I'm taking it to a billion zillion.
Of all the things you hand down to your children, very few will be of the quality of a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Because a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is 100% through and through a Mercedes-Benz. And right now, during our certified pre-owned sales event, you can get exceptional 1.99% financing on select models. Every one of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes a rigorous inspection by factory-trained technicians to ensure it meets the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And considering we invented the automobile, those standards are indeed high. Plus, a warranty and roadside assistance for up to 5 years and 100,000 total miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius satellite radio.
Thanks in advance, Dad.
Hurry into the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now through April 30th. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.
See dealer or call 1-800-4-MERCEDES for complete program, including certified pre-owned limited warranty and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations. Not all customers are qualified for advertised APR and are subject to prior credit approval.
A lot of people want to get their hands on a Kindle Fire tablet, so Amazon.com's quarterly earnings not only beat Wall Street expectations, they crushed them. And while bottom-line profits for Amazon were down from a year ago, the company says that was due to reinvestment in the business, and it'll pay off later. Sales jumped 34%, largely on the popularity of the Kindle. Back in the go-go days of the housing bubble, it was common for buyers to get into bidding wars. Well, despite the bubble bursting and resulting housing slump, bidding wars are making a comeback. But this time it has less to do with surging sales and more to do with shrinking supplies. A Wall Street Journal survey finds the inventory of homes listed for sale has declined sharply in all 28 markets tracked. A market is considered balanced when there's a six-month supply of homes for sale. At the height of the housing crisis in 2008, there was an 11-month supply. Now there's a 6.3-month supply. S&P futures are higher by a fraction. NASDAQ up 4.5, Dow gaining 12. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment, and during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Attention residents of this neighborhood. My name is Dave, and I'm opening a new sporting goods store right down the street. So, listen, if you're into sporting goods, stop in and buy some of my competitively priced gear. You won't regret it.
There's an easier, more effective way to find the customers that matter most. With Everydoor direct mail from the Postal Service, you can reach every home, every address, every time. Visit usps.com/mail to learn more.
Oh, one more thing. Since I'm here, has anyone seen my cat?
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. If you are just joining us, you need to actually fundamentally understand two things. We've got some open line, a lot of open line time in this hour. And so if you want to join us, feel free. In fact, I just got a tweet from Chris Savage. So I know Chris is listening. Chris, if you are available anytime in the next half hour or so, give us a call. We can walk through this font size bullcrap. Because he just put a link up on the Facebook to take you to where he explains it at eclectablog.com, the whole font size controversy, which isn't a controversy at all. I'm angry this morning. So if you're just joining us and that's something that you enjoy, well, then you're going to have a great hour. If not, then go somewhere else. I don't care. The number, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Why am I angry? I'm angry because democracy continues to get ignored. I'm angry because our Democratic lawmakers here in the state of Michigan have been effectively been made policy eunuchs by Republicans who have been bought and paid for by either the American Legislative Exchange Council or other corporate buddies. Now listen, anything to do with politics, and I don't care what political party you belong to, is strange in and of itself. But not, it is literally in the history of this state, in the history of this country, have we seen this kind of, you know, for Republicans that don't believe, or supposedly don't believe in abortion, all they want to do is abort democracy. They want to abort common sense. They want to abort logic. They have no problem aborting that. You don't think there's a connection between the two? Think again. You see, folks, I didn't just wake up this morning and go, I want to be involved in politics. I think I'm going to do a talk show. Now, I've been doing this a long time. I do my reading. I do my homework. I understand. I thoroughly understand the issues. Don't like some of them. I love others of them. I'm a liberal Democrat. Proudly a liberal Democrat. I fight for the middle class. I fight for the entire middle class. Not just Democrats in the middle class. Frankly, you all get to benefit from the kind of work that I do on this program, whether you realize it or not. I don't ask you to be appreciative. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I want you to just do some common sense stuff. That's all I ever ask of you. I ask of you to be a good citizen. That's something you should do. I realize that we don't live in a society any longer where you can just passively sit on the sidelines and expect that things are just going to be taken care of for you. There was a time where that was probably true in this country, long before I was cognizant of it. I've never really trusted government. I've really never trusted much of anybody when it comes to checks and balances. I said in the last hour, you know, in the state of Michigan, we no longer have checks and balances. We just have checks. Oh, and the kind of checks that I'm talking about are monetary. And then those of you that listen to the show that are of a conservative mindset, whether you're doing it on Facebook or you're calling the show or sending me your asinine emails and tweets with your points of view that aren't founded in anything but your own singular opinion, or you borrow, you know, Sean Hannity's opinion or Rush Limbaugh's opinion, I'll ask the question again. I swear to God, I'd almost pay a bounty for a conservative that has an original thought. Because you don't. I've yet to meet a conservative, regular, everyday Joe that has an original thought. When was the last time, seriously, the liberals that are listening to me right now, when was the last time you talked to a conservative at work, at a restaurant, at the store, anywhere? They said something that was original. When was the last time? Well, when was the first time? See, all they can do is borrow talking points from other asshats that are out there spewing hatred and untruths. I'm watching this presidential campaign unfold, and Mitt Romney just doesn't get it. Now listen, one of the realities of being a presidential candidate is you have to rely on the team of people that you put together to advise you on everything from what to wear to what to say to what your policy points of view will be. That's as true for President Obama as it is for Mitt Romney. It is. No one person can know all this stuff at one time. No one person has all these ideas, right? I mean, let's just be realistic about it. So we have to start saying to ourselves, well, then this is why it matters who they surround themselves with. Does that make sense to some of you? I think it does. So as we look, I'm paying attention. I don't talk a lot about national politics right now, but that doesn't mean I'm not paying attention, doesn't mean I'm not doing my reading, doesn't mean I'm not doing my research, because I am. Every single day. Hours every single day. And when the time comes, and it's coming, I'll be there. Both barrels, no question, it'll happen. But Mitt Romney is going to, and you mark my words on this, he is going to do nothing but lie about Barack Obama, because that's all he has to hold on to. Mitt Romney's afraid of his own past. The only real political experience he's had is as the governor of Massachusetts, which is a very liberal state, so he was a very moderate Republican, very moderate. Although he claims he was severely Republican, and I've been actually using that line when I speak lately because it sounds like a disease. I have severe Republicanism. Well, you know, there's actually a treatment for that. Come on over to our side. We are the big umbrella party here on the Democratic. The Democratic Party is the big umbrella party. There's always room for the converted. Even Mitt Romney would be welcome. Because we do know at some point in his career, it wasn't that long ago, he was actually more a Democrat than a Republican. He just can't say it. And it's okay. It's all right if you say it. People get it. Why do you think it's taken so long for this country, the Republicans in this country that vote, to warm up to you? Because they know that you're not a real Republican, but we don't know what you are. That's the problem with being Mitt Romney. So what's he going to do? He's going to lie. I've got some audio. John Boehner. Okay, John Boehner, Speaker of the House, which is, by the way, a leadership role. But you wouldn't know it the way he talks disrespectfully about this president. Let's play that audio right here.
This week, the president traveled across the country on taxpayers' dime at a cost of $179,000 an hour, insisting that Congress fix a problem that we were already working on. I think this is beneath the dignity of the White House. Democrats and Republicans knew that this was going to take effect. Democrats and Republicans fully expected this would be taken care of. For the president to make a campaign issue out of this, and then to travel to three battleground states and go to three large college campuses on taxpayers' money to try to make this a political issue is pathetic. And his campaign ought to be reimbursing the Treasury for the cost of this trip.
Who's going to reimburse us for the cost of what you, John Boehner, have cost this country in bad policy and horrible leadership? Who's going to reimburse us for that? No campaign in the world has that much money. By the way, Congressman Gary Peters appeared on this show just 2 days ago. And this quote-unquote fix that John Boehner just talked about, you heard him just say that, right? They've got a problem that's already being fixed. Isn't one Republican, not one Republican that has signed on to that fix legislation. So, John Boehner, who the hell do you think you're fooling? I know who you think you're fooling. Those that aren't paying attention. They happen to be Republicans. Your voter, your voting base. Because they don't pay attention. So John Boehner says whatever the hell he wants. He gets on Fox News. They repeat what he says. Everybody that watches Fox News, oh, my God, the speaker's right. $179,000 a day. Oh, my God, this president's awful. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a reality to being president. They often tour the country talking about policy initiatives that matters to them. Every president does it, even Republicans. So, Mr. Boehner, I ask you, why don't you stop lying as well and start telling the truth? There isn't a fix on the... Well, there is a fix out there, but is it on the way? That's the real question. As we found out from Congressman Gary Peters on this very show 2 days ago, not one Republican has co-sponsored the legislation that fixes the student loan problem. So, Mr. Speaker, I ask the question, who's going to reimburse us for your ill-advised leadership in the House of Representatives? Go back into your tanning booth, go get orange again, and leave us the F alone. 888-552-3595. We'll take a break and be back. Join me. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
With Tony Trupiano.
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
There are no incidents or accidents or slowdowns anywhere, just construction notes. Remember, on 75, it's going to be closed in both directions this weekend between 4th Street and Schaefer for bridge work. And starting at 9 a.m., 94 eastbound at the Pelham Road exit, they're going to be doing construction on the ramp. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Attention passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner.
Will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th.
And your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator, Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't this event
and is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to michigandems.com/jeffjack to purchase your tickets now.
That's michigandems.com/jeffjack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. We are open lines up until Occupy at 7:50, so feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. I got an email from a listener yesterday. The guy called the show the other day, and I had said something along the lines, is just because you're nice doesn't make you smart. His name was James, some of you will remember him. He said that he writes me and says that when I heard you say that, I had to pull over to the side of the road until I stopped laughing at your comment, which I doubt that he did, by the way. You and I both know that Obama could have made significant strides in reforming our broken tax code if he wished to do so. However, he spent the majority of his first year in office attempting to revamp the health care system, which may result in it being struck down due to its being an possible unconstitutional act. Yet most of your listeners blame the Republicans for this issue. I know, as well as you do, that this is a bipartisan issue, and your callers should have the intelligence to realize this. All right, let me stop there. I have no idea what the hell that meant. What's a bipartisan issue? I have no idea what the guy meant. So, again, I'm going to go back to my original statement. He may be a nice guy and very polite, but he doesn't articulate himself well, and that's really what I said on air. Not once, but twice. He doesn't think, and so I'm thinking, okay, he just doesn't think, period, because it's one thing to call a show and really not think about what it is you want to say or not really kind of figure out how to articulate it. I get that. But when you write an email, you got time to think, right? So that first paragraph just leaves me clueless. He went on, though. There's more here. Also, he writes, I am amazed at how little your listeners actually know about what they talk about. For example, the UAW members that call into your show continually blame management and executives for being overpaid and not paying their fair share of taxes. First of all, people don't call the show and identify themselves as being UAW members. So where that came from, I don't know. By the way, James, the wealthy don't pay their fair share, but we'll come back to that. It's okay. He goes on. But do they and you realize that the executives of the UAW, at least at the regional level in one particular Big Three car company, voted to give themselves a 10 to 15% pay raise while they asked their members to accept pay cuts and a reduction in their medical benefits? Again, not true. Does this scream of hypocrisy to you? Well, no, because it's not true. They only voted for a 10% raise because they feared any more of the raise might raise some eyebrows in their membership. Tony, I think you need to do some research in this matter and inform your listeners about what is really going on in their beloved unions. All right, Jim, where do I begin with you? Unfortunately, you are both ill-informed and uninformed, and there is a difference between the two. If you need to Google them or look them up in a dictionary, feel free to do that, because I am now convinced that you are a little dimmer bulb than I even thought you were before you had called this show two times. Maybe you'd called more than that. I don't know. But you're a fairly memorable guy. I remember two calls very specifically. Your email has confirmed, again, what I originally suspected, that you, again, aren't the brightest bulb on the tree, and I'm okay with that. I'm glad you wrote. I'm glad you wrote. If you happen to be listening this morning, and I will respond to your email later on today so that I can make sure that this message reaches you. Before the next time you want to communicate with me or anybody else that disagrees with your point of view, do yourself a favor and actually know what the hell you're talking about. Or at least be able to identify the issues so that we can have some common ground on which to disagree, which you kind of did in the second paragraph, totally devoid in the first. Now, listen, I understand, as I do to anybody, listen, my job is to be informed. My job is to do research and homework, and that's what I do. So I do know a lot more than some people on issues, and then there are some issues I don't know enough or anything on because I can't possibly know it all. That's right. I said it. I can't possibly know it all. But this audience has been very good about educating me and being patient with me and providing me with links and resources so that if something comes up on the show that I don't know, and I do admit that, then I can power myself to that reality, go out and get the information, do my homework, do my reading, and then I know. Base my opinion on facts. Anybody that has ever heard me speak anywhere knows that I often talk about the responsibility that we have to truth. Whether we're a Republican or a Democrat, it matters not. I am a Democrat. I am a liberal Democrat for a profoundly good reason. Very foundational, very simple. I take a look at the world in which we live, and I ask myself this question. Based on our two major political parties, yes, I said our two major political parties, because they are what influence everything in our lives. Which one best represents the world I want to live in? Now, for some of you, that answer is the Republican Party. It escapes me why that is, but it is. Because what I don't think you folks get, and again, this is about facts, it's about truth, if you were to do your homework, unless you're making some pretty decent coin, being a member of the Republican Party is about, really is about a promise of something you'll never have. That's all it is. If you really believe the Republican mantra, ideology, philosophy, it's because you want to one day, you hope to one day be able to participate in what a very few people get to do. But because money buys power, and Republicans have more money than Democrats, Republicans have more power. It's pretty simple. It's not a difficult formula. We get it now. But that doesn't mean that we still don't have our vote. And as we do still have our vote, we have an obligation. We have an obligation, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that we use that vote properly. I called our vote in my speech the other day our currency. And it is a currency. It's our way of buying access. It's our way of buying access. So with that said, think long and hard about this. As you would take your dollars, the literal dollars you earn, because your vote is something you've earned. You've earned that as an American citizen. Should you not be very deliberate about the way you spend that vote? Now, here's the good news. You get to spend that vote in multiple ways. You get to spend it at the local level. You get to spend it at the statewide level. You get to spend it at the national level. You can spend it any way you want. You can mix and match. You see, stop and think about that. That currency, that vote, that currency that I'm talking about is really very diverse. Far more diverse than I think you realize. Put some thought to that. Let's take a break, and we're going to get to some calls on the other side. Dan in Milford, you're up next. Yep, I'm a little wound up today, but I've got a right to be. Democracy is under attack, and Republicans are the responsible party. We need to defeat them. 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break and be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We are looking good on the commute. Just a couple of slow spots to report. 696 westbound between Mound Road and 75, and tapping the brakes on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. National Association of Letter Carriers President Frederick Rolando says the 21st Century Postal Service Act passed by the U.S. Senate is a deeply flawed bill that will cost 80,000 jobs. The union says it's disappointed but determined to fight on to save the Postal Service without embracing a downsizing strategy. Rolando says while this bill reduces the cost of the retirement pre-funding mandate that costs the Postal Service billions of dollars, that mandate is still too heavy to allow the USPS to regain sound financial footing. Imagine a Republican Party that understood working families are part of its constituency, a GOP that stood with working families instead of against them on the whole range of public policies. David Fagan is chairman of Lunch Pail Republicans, a group started in Indiana that has since spread to Illinois and to Wisconsin and may go national. Fagan is also president of Indiana's International Union of Operating Engineers. He says in Indiana, about half of all union members vote Republican, and the party should not turn its back on working families by attacking unions and undermining worker wages with things like the so-called Right to Work law.
Right to Work was not about job creation. Right to Work was about depriving people who engage in collective bargaining from the ability to participate in the political process. And the Republican Party should be about creating a foundation for economic growth in the private sector, not pursuing policies that undermine the wages of working families. Their disposable income diminishes, so does their ability to support their local businesses.
Lunch Pail Republicans has recruited pro-working family Republicans to run for state legislative offices in the May primaries in Indiana.
We have a couple of teachers who are running. We have an electrician. We have several operating engineers. We have a member of the Fraternal Order of Police who are running as Lunch Pail Republicans.
The Change to Win Labor Federation says the public needs to send Walmart a message about its alleged bribery of Mexican officials to expand in that country. Change to Win says Walmart reportedly bribed public officials in Mexico to evade laws designed to protect workers, the environment, and communities, and then tried to cover it up. Change to Win is urging people to sign an online petition calling for the resignations of Walmart Board Chair Rob Walton and CEO Mike Duke and a thorough and independent investigation of Walmart's actions. That petition is at change.org. This newscast made possible in part by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
You know, welcome back. Pleasure to be with you 35 minutes after the hour. I want to quickly go to our call because Dan's been waiting a while. If you care to join us, though, 888-552-3595. Jeff, very quickly, I find it so interesting. I'm getting, like, you know, like, I had like six emails in the last 40 minutes. It kind of goes back to Bruce's call. Why do people enjoy it when I'm angry? Is that a little weird?
Passion breeds passion, I guess.
I love it when you get mad. Okay.
Well, and it's not something you can overuse either. You can't get on every day and be...
I'm not angry every
day.
No.
Well, I mean...
In fact, your dad made a comment to you one day.
I was just going to say, he loves it as well when Tony's really mad and passionate. Well, and yeah, but if you did that every day, then people would realize that it's just a... That you're just using it to get calls and people going. I mean, you actually are passionate today because this is something that you care about. It's not a show.
Yeah, no, we're under attack right now. There's no question about it. All right, we'll come back and chat about this. Dan in Milford joins us now. Dan, I haven't heard from you. I guess I did hear from you last week. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, Tony? Good morning.
I'm a little uptight today, dude.
I was going to say, as my first comment, that I love your passion, man, you know, and I think you're, a lot of times, you're at your best when you're fired up, because your passion comes through and it's real, you know, and so I don't take it as you being angry, so I think it's a good thing, but Jeff's right, you know, you can't overuse it.
All right, well, thank you.
You know, the comment on Jeff's email, or is it Jim?
Jim, it's
the
Jim.
The email that you were just talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. I apologize. Here's the key difference. And when you were talking about it, Tony, you said, when you look at the world, you know, is this the world that we want to live in? And the difference is that when Jim makes that same evaluation, he says, is this the world that I want to live in? And
yeah,
I don't know,
right.
Jim, but I...
No, you mean you're right. There's Dan, very quickly, I'll let you get back to your point. There's a difference between I and we. And that was the distinction, of course, that you're making there.
All right. And, you know, this week, Tony, on two nights ago on Wednesday night, I went to Organizing for America meeting in my community. There was about 15 of us there. And, you know, it was just some brainstorming. But what came out of that is that what we got to remember, you know, in November, what we're voting for is our common good, you know, and I know a lot of people, you know, hear that word common good and it's like, you know, touchy-feely and hippies and, you know, socialism and stuff like that. But if people really stopped and thought about, you know, for example, Jim, you know, that road he was driving on when he couldn't stop laughing that he had to pull over on, that's part of our common good. That's part of our government and our taxpayer base. Just like the school that he dropped his kid off at before he probably was on that road, in those teachers and our public service workers. And people got to remember, you know, what's at stake here. You're so right. We're under attack, and we have to really stop and think carefully about all the things that mean so much to all of us, and we have to vote for them and keep them around.
You know, and Dan, I'm not going to speak for you, but I will speak for me. I listen, I've never been wealthy. I mean, wealthy. I mean, I know what it's like to have a little bit of money, but I've never been wealthy. But I have been poor, so I know what that's like. I mean, I really, in my adult life, I've been poor. I've had periods of time because I've been self-employed where I have not done as well as other periods of time in my life. So I know what it's like to go without. I know how important, as schlocky as it's going to sound, I know how important it is to be loved, because there are times where love is all you have to get you through a certain situation. And that may sound schlocky to people, but it's the truth. Without that love of a spouse or a family member or your family in general, you know, there are some situations that are impossible to get through without having a support system. But I understand. I've lived that reality. So when I talk about wanting, you know, when I talk about what I want, what we should want from one another, I'm okay if I have a little less so someone else can have a little more. I'm absolutely okay with that.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, and it just, we need to be less selfish. We need to think of the people around us, because without each other, without our common good, this descends into a place where we don't want to live, and just keep fighting that fight, man. Keep using the word we, and we're going to get there. It's going to be a good November.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And you're right, it is going to be a good November. And thank you for, by the way, stepping up and volunteering for Organizing for America. That's critical, especially in your part of Oakland County where aren't a lot of Democrats. So thank you so much. All right, folks, I want to make a point, because Dan just said something, and Jeff, that I think you'll appreciate. I was watching Kelvin Johnson on a press conference the other day when it was announced that he was going to be on the cover of Madden and all that's great. Couple things. First of all, he said something that didn't get the attention of 99.999% of the people that watched that press conference. He mentioned his foundation. All right, now I don't even know what his foundation is. I have no idea. But that he has one matters to me, right? That means that he's giving some of the $132 reported million dollars that he will make, and he's funneling that into a foundation that I'm sure will have some kind of charitable good. And he's not the first athlete to do that, and I don't want to paint it that way. My point is, he understood that he had to give something back. Can we agree on that?
Right.
All right. So that's great. Again, and I'll look into what his foundation is, and that's fine. That's all well and good. Chris Webber came to mind, because he's another real big charitable guy. He's taken a lot of his money and given back, especially to education. All right. These are not perfect. There's no such thing as perfect people. And at the end of the day, Kelvin Johnson never, ever, ever, unless he totally mismanages his money, never has to worry about where his next anything is coming from financially. But that he had enough common sense to start a foundation says something about him as a man. I don't know that he's a Republican. I don't know that he's a Democrat. I don't even know if he's political. In fact, I don't even know if he's voted in his life, and I don't care. That's not what my conversation right now is about. It's about that we mentality that Dan was talking about. And Jeff, you don't start a foundation if you're selfish. You just don't. That's simple. You don't do it. Now, I'll give you an example. And my guy, Charles Rogers, he made some decent cash. Well, he should have made some decent cash as a first-round pick, right?
No, he did.
Oh, he did, but I mean, he
blew it. I mean,
he blew it, and he had to actually give some of it back, which he didn't have to give back, so he's got legal problems now. But my point is, he didn't put a foundation together, did he?
I'm not sure.
He didn't. He didn't.
Oh, okay.
He didn't. I assure you, he didn't. There are lots of quote-unquote bad boys in sports that make lots of money that don't give any of it back to anybody. And then there are others that don't make a ton of money that give back. And Ndamukong Suh, before he signed his contract with the Detroit Lions, said the first, and he knew he was going to get a huge payday. He already guaranteed his university $1.5 million for a scholarship fund. He promised them that he would fix up their locker room. He would pay to do. He knew he had a huge payday coming. And so before he even signed a contract, before he even had the money, he committed a percentage of it to something charitable. That's a good thing. There's nothing bad in that. There's just not. Now, would I rather that money went somewhere else? No, it's not up to me to decide where somebody wants to donate their money. I know. That's not up to me. I don't judge people that way. I don't want you to judge people that way. All right, very, very quickly before we go, and I would normally not do this, but, you know, I want to, Jeff, I want to share with people. We, of course, for those that don't know, there are seven radio stations in the building that we're in, and right next to us is WDFN, which is the sports station here for Clear Channel, and the morning host, a guy by the name of Matt Shepard, great guy. A great guy. He does a lot of play-by-play stuff with the U of M. Does a lot of football stuff with the Lions preseason. I'm sure I'm missing some of his resume, Jeff, but he's just a great guy. I just had a brief exchange with him over at the coffee machine as we were getting ready to, you know, come back during our after our breaks. I'm assuming he has a similar clock hour than I do because I do see him from time to time during the break. You know, it's like that that kind of give me hope. Just we had a very brief exchange. It had absolutely nothing to do with sports or politics because we don't actually talk sports and politics because we're dads and we're husbands and we're other things besides what people might think. But, it, you know, just that brief exchange. I want the audience to understand that that, you know, sometimes you have to really, and I do this, you really have to pay attention to the little things in life that they can give you hope. That little conversation we had, again, it's irrelevant what it was about, but it was a nice, hopeful little conversation. Lasted maybe 35, 40 seconds, if that. But I'm paying attention. I'm asking you all to pay attention. But sometimes that requires us to pay attention to things that are not as palatable as we'd like them to be. And then it might require us to do something about it. You see, you all can change the face of what is going on. We all have the right and, frankly, the responsibility to change that. As we move forward, the show, the society, the political season, some of it's going to get ugly, some of it's going to be beautiful, but we have to keep in mind this idea, sacrosanct, this idea that democracy should matter in more ways than just a tradition or a promise, because as we've seen here in the state of Michigan, that promise has now been broken. The promise of democracy does not exist in the state of Michigan right now. And it's been taken away from us by virtue of Republicans that control the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court, the Governor's Office, the Secretary of State's Office, the Attorney General's Office. Do I need to go on? Are you going to stand up with me? That's a question. Let's take a break. When we come back, Shannon with Occupy Detroit will join us. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivette.
On both sides, we have these incredible amounts of money, and I guarantee you there will be a scandal. There is too much money washing around politics, and it's making the parties irrelevant.
On 1310
WDTW. Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012, at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, as keynote speakers George Coel and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, the MichiganSummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Let me welcome to First Shift Representative Richard Hamill.
Now, to give a bill its immediate effect, which means the bill would take effect directly after the governor signs the bill, unless there's something within the bill that there's a provision for it to be extended. But the Constitution clearly says that if 20% or one-fifth of the members in the House of Representatives want to have a record roll call vote on an immediate effect, that should be granted. And we have not had the ability at all in this last little bit to be able to have a record roll call vote on immediate effect. I'd say not ever all. There's less than five times in the 560 times we've passed the bill where we've had immediate effect votes. So at least slow the process down a little bit. Doesn't change the legislation. Doesn't say that people can't pass things that they want. Majority parties have that ability in that center, but we say the Constitution says that you should have the opportunity to slow down just a hair.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift.
It is that time. I got to tell you, I just noticed that we've lost three likes this morning on our Facebook page. I always, you know, there is that part of me because, honestly, there is that part of me that goes, gee, I wonder who it was, because it's impossible to tell, of course. Then there's the other part of me that goes, good riddance, and that's the part that wins, because I could care less. We are going to do our Occupy segment now. Joining me is Shannon McEvely. As all of you know at this point, she is just a consummate activist. Truly one of the most responsible and responsive people that I may have ever known. I absolutely adore her for all the right reasons. And looking forward to seeing her this weekend downtown Detroit, as there's a lot going on for Democrats and activists alike. And, Shen, I want to welcome you back to First Shift. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me. As always, it is absolutely a pleasure to start my morning with you.
Well, thank you. I've had you on since we met, but we actually met in person just about 2 weeks ago, and what a blessing that was for me. It's always nice when you can put a face with a name. But I also got to see you in action, and you're the real deal. I know that you don't want me to embarrass you this morning, but I'm just saying you're the real deal. Let's talk about what you're here to talk about, which is really a very important, somber, but also uplifting event tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Absolutely, and that's the Detroit Workers Memorial. The Detroit Windsor Workers Memorial event being held tomorrow at the UAW at 151 West Jefferson. It's an event that's held every year. As the name would suggest, it's a memorial for all of those workers who have been killed or injured on the job this year and in past years, obviously, because despite the fact that this is 2012, in the United States, thousands of workers are killed every year on the job. So this is a really cool event because it happens at the same time as the Windsor holds theirs, and we'll be doing it right on the river. So at one point, we'll be able to go out and see the Windsor, the unions and the Windsor workers holding their event as well. I'm really looking forward to it. And worker safety is one of those things that, you know, we hear, and not that it's not true, because all of these things are true, that labor, you know, labor brought you the weekend. Unions are responsible for the 40-hour work week. Unions are responsible for getting rid of child labor, which is all true. But one of the things that unions continue to be absolutely integral in this country is worker safety. It's still a huge problem. We see it every day, workers in unsafe conditions, and it's one of the main reasons that unions are still desperately needed in our country.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes, Shannon, people
will be for some time.
Yeah, I think sometimes people think, well, you know, we have federal and state regulatory bodies that mandate safety regulations. Oh, please, folks, don't think that just happened. That happened because there are actually good lobbyists in this world. Some of them actually are attached to labor unions, and some of them, you know, are responsible for MyOSHA or OSHA. I mean, this stuff doesn't just appear out of nowhere.
Absolutely. And I think in this state especially, which we've seen in the last few days, just such egregious violations of our citizens' democratic rights. With the emergency manager repeal petitions, it's not. I don't think that we're in a place where we can trust the Republican bureaucrats in this state to put workers' safety and workers' well-being ahead of the bureaucratic interests. I have no faith in the Republican establishment and bureaucracy in the state to do what's right for families and for workers. And that's why unions continue to be so, so important, especially in Michigan, and making sure that even, you know, the basis of worker safety regulations are followed.
You know, I think I know the answer to this, but I'll ask it anyway. Are you in a union?
I'm not in a union.
No, I didn't think you were. And so, no, I think it's important to make that distinction. We had somebody else recently on the show that, you know, pointed out that they weren't in a union, but they wanted to thank the unions for giving them the life that they have, because without those union influences in any workplace, whether people want to recognize that they exist or not, but they do, without unions, many of us wouldn't have what we clearly are able to enjoy. I do want to also point out that our own Chris Mihalakis will be headlining a list of important speakers at tomorrow afternoon's event, including State Representative Rashida Tlaib, who will be there. So for those that want to go out that way, again, this starts at 2 o'clock. Is that correct?
I have 1:30.
Okay.
But it's quite possible. I think between 1:30 and 2 is probably fine.
Yeah, I'm going to just, because I know I've got it here. We've been talking about this for a while now. Yes, it's right here. Yep, starts at 2, so...
Okay.
Get on over there about 1:30 if they want to start making it over there. And again, there's a lot going down on downtown tomorrow. So make a point, folks. This is it's both a somber and an empowering opportunity. It truly is. So if you get the opportunity to get downtown tomorrow, that would be something that you, of course, would want to go take a look at and listen to and be a part of. And, of course, Shannon, I'll look forward to seeing you, as we were emailing yesterday, seeing you tomorrow evening as I'm speaking at the Young Democrats Mixer. And you told me you were going to be there.
Yes, I will. And specifically to see you, more or less. There's a group of us going right from the Workers' Memorial to the mixer, hopefully in time for your address.
Well, I do want to share with this audience before I let you go that I gave a speech on Wednesday night in Grosse Pointe Park, and one of the women that was in the audience was at the 99% Spring training that you were a big part of at UAW Local 600 a week ago last Sunday. And she couldn't say enough nice things about that experience. She was truly empowered. In fact, participated in the GE shareholders protest just the other morning as a result of going to that training. So, Shannon, it does work.
That's very good to hear. And that's exactly the point of the training. That's exactly what we were looking to get out of the training. So that's very, very heartening to hear.
Great. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Shannon McGevely again with Occupy Detroit. Folks, we are going to take a quick break here. Let's see how cranky Joe DeSano is today. I'll bet you I'm crankier than him. And see if he's been listening. If he's been listening, then he'll be crankier than me because he's always good at this. We'll take a break and be back after the top of the hour.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We are looking good on the commute. Just a couple of slow spots to report. 696 westbound between Mound Road and 75. And tapping the brakes on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jimmy Kleshevsky. The latest clash in Congress over extending low interest for student loans. CNBC's Jackie DeAngelo says, as usual, Republicans and Democrats don't see eye to eye on the funding issue.
Where the fight will come now is how the GOP wants to pay for the measure, tapping $6 billion that was directed by the health care overhaul. House Democrats want to fund the bill by getting rid of tax rates for oil and natural gas companies.
Interest rates on student loans will skyrocket in July if Congress fails to act. A court hearing today for George Zimmerman, the Florida man charged with killing unarmed teen Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman's attorney says he'll address the fact that his client has raised more than $200,000 in donations from a website. An exercise and a healthy diet. That's the prescription for cancer survivors to help prevent the disease from coming back. The American Cancer Society, revamping its guidelines, now recommends daily exercise, if only a brisk walk, and a diet low in fat, sugar, and sodium. This is NBC News Radio. We'll find out how the economy's doing later this hour when stats are released on economic growth for the first 3 months of the year. Private estimates put their growth rate at 2.5%, lower than the final quarter of 2011. Wall Street boosted yesterday by a big jump in pending home sales, hitting a two-year high, while mortgage rates are close to a record low. Had a good night's sleep lately? Centers for Disease Control says too many Americans don't get enough shut-eye. NBC's Robert Pizzell.
30% of working Americans say that they sleep 6 hours or less a night. We know that that amount of sleep can contribute to a lot of diseases, including diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and 20% of car and truck crashes.
And a photographer who was taking pictures at a Manhattan art collector's home tells the New York Post that he's not the one who broke her ancient Nigerian sculpture. The priceless piece, now in pieces. But photographer Eric Gilliman says you can't blame him for the art-breaking incident. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Kleshevsky, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it works. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Proactive heals your acne and helps prevent new breakouts. We're looking for 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive risk-free for 60 days. This trial ends soon, so call 1-800-833-7395. That's 1-800-833-7395.
When I entertain, I do it right. Thanks to Sam's Club.
Try us free and shop with no upcharge at the Spring Taste of Sam's Club open house.
I taste ahead of time, so I know it'll be a hit. And who doesn't love free samples?
Fresh meat, seafood, and more delicious items to prepare your spring
to perfection.
Not a member? Hurry in and join now through Sunday at the Spring Taste of Sam's Club, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Be one of the first 800 members to sign up for emails from Sam's Club and get a free cookbook. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Shares of Ford are stepping on the accelerator after reporting earnings that dropped from a year ago, but beat what Wall Street was looking for. Now, part of the drop in profit was from weakness in Europe, where its sales plunged. Also, the company says it's now paying more in taxes. Amazon.com may sell all kinds of things, but it's the Kindle Fire keeping the earnings fires burning. The company posting first quarter profits that blew past analyst expectations, despite falling 35% from a year ago. Now, Amazon says that was due to investment in its business that it expects will pay off in the future. Sales actually went the other way, with revenue higher by 34%, topping $13 billion with its Kindle Fire tablet, its best-selling item. Amazon shares are jumping pre-market. Blue chips Merck and Procter & Gamble both topped earnings expectations, but P&G shares are lower pre-market as it cut its profit outlook. S&P futures are higher by 1 point now, NASDAQ gaining 7, Dow futures in the plus column by 6. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment, and during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned sales event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned sales event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranties, and complete details.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Origin's Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Attention residents of this neighborhood. My name is Dave, and I'm opening a new sporting goods store right down the street. So, listen, if you're into sporting goods, stop in and buy some of my competitively priced gear. You won't regret it.
There's an easier, more effective way to find the customers that matter most. With Everydoor direct mail from the Postal Service, you can reach every home, every address, every time. Visit usps.com/mail to learn more.
One more thing. Since I'm here, has anyone seen my cat?
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. You know, I didn't do that in the last hour. I just realized I was so angry in the 7 o'clock hour, I got off protocol. I apologize for that. For those of you that need to know that it's 6 minutes after the hour at the start of every hour, I apologize for that. Welcome back. All the haters are out. Thank you for your emails. Glad that y'all love my ranting and raving. I did respond to one person that called me ill-informed and uninformed because it was a phrase that I used. And I said, give me 3 examples. Bullet points are fine because I know that conservatives, because of their lack of education, can't articulate in paragraph form. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I really am. I can read bullet points as well. I can't a paragraph. So keep that in mind. as you write me, as you send me stuff that's ill-informed and uninformed, bullet points are fine. I don't need paragraphs. This isn't about, you know, the marking period, I assure you. Okay, Joe DeSano in this hour for sure as we wrap up this week. I want to remind you very quickly that we've got the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner tomorrow. I will also, tomorrow morning, be speaking at the American Federation of Teachers annual conference at the Renaissance Center. Looking forward to that. I will also be speaking tomorrow evening at the Young Democrats Mixer at the Signature Grill on the riverfront. Looking forward to that. And, of course, I'm looking forward to, if you will give me my intro, this.
Give me with his razor-sharp precision.
I think Democrats have the ability and track record to eat their own like no one I've ever seen.
First Shift welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
I'll just point to my life and career. I've never felt that I've had a mentor. I've never felt that too many doors have been opened up on my behalf. I felt like I've barged the doors open.
Partner in Main Street Strategies, Mr. Joe DeSano.
That would be Mr. Joe DeSano, and Mr. Joe DeSano is on the other end of my line this morning. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning. Since it's six minutes after the hour when you come back, it's now 8 minutes after the hour. Are you going to give us the traffic and weather?
At the break.
At the break.
At the break. That's what we do, traffic and weather, at the break. So, yes, we will be doing that. In fact, we'll be doing it at the break. Yesterday, cool. Democracy took a beating, especially here in the state of Michigan, between Public Act 4 and the new legislative budget, the education budget. Tom McMillan, who needs to be shut up, and I could think of a half a dozen things I could stick in his mouth to do that, Joe. I've been a little pissy this morning, but I will not be pissy with you. I just want you to know that...
It sounds like I missed some fireworks.
Yeah, I've been...
This call is being recorded. Yeah. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Okay.
Whoa, was that
Big Skype.
Brother?
That was Skype. That was Skype. That was exactly...
Oh, yeah, I'm assuming. Well, that's interesting. Okay. All right.
It's good to know that we're being recorded. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the federal government, or at least state government, after what I've said about Tom McMillan and Rick Snyder this morning. The Kaiser. Somebody called Rick Snyder earlier this week the Kaiser. I like it.
Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah, it definitely works for me. There's a lot going on. You know, as I was looking at the stuff that you sent me, and I think we're gonna start with the hoaxer stuff first, because there's a lot going on there. For a guy that's supposedly a front runner, for a guy that's raised really a boatload of money, Joe, it kind of makes you wonder, because he's spending it just about as fast as he's making it. His campaign seems to be in disarray, and we'll get to that in just a minute. I got to ask you this question. As a guy that's a many-term member of Congress, not new to the whole process, what the hell's going on?
Well, he is somewhat new to the process, if you really know his history. He ran a campaign in 1992 to knock out a incumbent U.S. congressman. And it was very much a grassroots campaign, okay? It was not a modern campaign, all right? And then, you know, fast forward 18 years, he runs for governor and doesn't take anyone's advice, doesn't try to run a modern campaign, and comes up short. My theory is he went into a period of time of self-doubt searching and decided, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to take the advice of other people. The problem is, he took the advice of the wrong people, and they're basically fleecing him. And, you know, he's Dutch, so he's naturally frugal. He might be waking up to the fact that this money's being wasted, and, you know, it's going out the door just as quickly as it's coming in the door, and he might be rethinking the folks he surrounds himself with. So I do think it's fair to say that his fundraising situation is precarious. I think it's fair to say his campaign's in disarray. I think it's fair to say that they feel the heat coming from Clark Durant. So we've got a situation here where, you know, Pete Hoekstra should be the darling of the conservative establishment in Washington, D.C., but, you know, I know the soothsayers and the money bags out there are looking at this and saying, hey, wait a minute, is Pete Hoekstra really our best chance to unseat Sabato?
I think it's a fair question. There's no question that's true. So I asked the question, you know, we had earlier in the program, I was talking about Mitt Romney, and actually I was also talking about President Obama. You know, you surround yourself with people that you supposedly need to trust, people that say, all right, this is going to be your position on this, and this is how you need to articulate that. Oh, by the way, you need to wear this to this event. That's fine, Joe. We understand that that's the way that works. So let's apply this now to this senatorial race and ask some questions. Let's talk about, you just mentioned it, the team of people that he has surrounded himself with, or should I say, did surround himself with. Is he making any changes?
Yeah, the first head has seemed to have rolled in the Pete Hoekstra universe. And this week it was, actually yesterday, it was revealed that his campaign manager, a gentleman by the name of Ethan Elion, has left the campaign because of a pregnant wife, which is basically the equivalent of spending more time with his family.
Right.
And we all know that's code for showing the door. And it's fair to say that Elion has a somewhat checkered past. He seems to be an acolyte of John Weaver, who we know is on board the Hoekstra campaign. He seems to be tied up into the John Weaver, John Yab axis. Elion was also the original campaign manager for John Huntsman in New Hampshire before he was removed. And we know that at least at that point in time, both Huntsman and Yab were on board Weaver and Yab were on board with Huntsman before, of course, Yab went on to work for three or four other presidential campaigns after he got shown the door by Huntsman. The point being is I think this is just the first head that's going to roll. I think this is a precursor to larger changes coming down the pike for a campaign that should be in a much stronger position than they are.
All right, now I'm not going to pretend to understand the ins and outs of political campaigns because I don't. Even though I was a candidate for Congress, it was my first and only time, and so I wouldn't take that as experience as being indicative of anything. So with that said, you'll allow me a little license here, Joe, that somebody gets rid of their campaign manager at this point in a campaign, odd, not odd? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think any time you have a situation where the campaign manager leaves, it's usually never a good thing. It's usually never a sign of a healthy, functional campaign. In fact, usually it's a sign of dysfunction and discord. I remember back when he ran, when Hoekstra ran the China ad. Go back to the tape. I said they're going to clean house. They're going to do it several months from now to sweep it under the rug. It's on the tape back around February, the time of the Super Bowl. So the first week in February, someone should dig that up and review it, because I think this is just the first sign of what I predicted back in February.
Okay, well, and that's fair. One of the indicators, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but to me, one of the indicators that the campaign is also dysfunctional, it's not like the kind of money Pete Hoekstra, and yes or no, the kind of money Pete Hoekstra has raised at this point is not chump change, correct?
No, it's not chump change. And here's the thing. Campaigns always, almost always take on the persona of the candidate. And I've always, one of my favorite sayings is the fish rots from the head down. Hoekstra is very, very flawed as a candidate. He carries himself with a certain amount of pompousness and faux intellectualism. When in fact, you know, he's really not all that bright, to be honest. And so we've got a situation here where I think this campaign reflects who he is. I mean, he's raised a decent amount of change, and as we said before, that money's going out the door in huge amounts.
Right, and I want to come back to that after the break, because that's really where my point is, and I need you to analyze just that piece of it when we come back. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies, again, is my guest. Joe is with us every Friday at this time. It's an amazingly great way to end our week. He always, and we've got some other stuff to get to, he always brings us information we get nowhere else. Nowhere else. Main Street Strategies, once again. Let's take the break. Joe DeSano will continue with us after we do this on First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. And since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
As we headed to your rush hour commute, we picked up a couple of accidents. First one on 96 westbound just before Inkster Road. It has your left lane blocked, and it's causing stop-and-go traffic from Beach Daily. And you got one on 94 eastbound at 96. That's blocking your right shoulder, and it's causing slow traffic from Michigan Avenue. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Attention, passionate Democrats all over Michigan.
The Michigan Democratic Party is proud to announce their annual fundraiser, the Jeff Jack Dinner,
will be held this year on Saturday, April 28th,
and your attendance is required. They are thrilled to welcome to Michigan Robert Gibbs, senior advisor to Obama for America and a true friend of Michigan, as the former press secretary for our own Senator, Debbie Stabenow, as well as to President Obama. In addition to an amazing dinner at Cobo Center, this year marks the inaugural after party that is a can't-miss event
and is included in the price of your dinner ticket.
Whether you have attended in the past or this is your first time, the Jeff Jack Dinner is one of the most exciting events for Democrats, and it is literally a must-attend for those of us who care about the Michigan Democratic Party. Just go to MichiganDems.com/JeffJack to purchase your tickets now.
That's MichiganDems.com/JeffJack.
And reserve your spot to one of the most exciting political nights of the year. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310.
WDTW.
Joe DeSano back with us 22 minutes after the hour. Joe, I'm hoping that you got your traffic and weather in that break okay.
I did.
Well,
I
good.
Did.
Good. I'm just glad because we got to keep everybody current. It is like in and out. It's 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Everybody knows that. So let's go back to my question. When you have, again, at this point in a campaign, when you've raised a significant amount of money and you're basically spending it about as quickly as you're bringing it in, and you're not even to the point where you're, I don't know, doing much of anything, because all we're doing is, you know, talking about these candidates. They're not doing much. They're not doing mailings. Where the hell is the money going is my question.
Well, they are doing mailings. They're probably doing a pretty intensive direct mail program to raise money. And when you start those things up from ground zero, they tend to actually cost a lot of money. So I'll give them a pass on that. Because direct mail programs don't really pay off until later. So it's more of an investment at the front end. But I mean, I think it's fair to say that the Hoekstra campaign is spending money like the proverbial drunken sailor. And I've got to think, due to some of the attention they've been getting both here in Michigan, from the press on their spending, as well as Politico.com, which is, did a story yesterday about some of the spending. And it's interesting, you know, according to Politico in an analysis by MERS, 52% of the $700,000 he brought in was kicked out to consultants and vendors. So it seems to me that these guys got their hooks in our friend Hoekstra and are shaking the piggy bank for every penny they can get.
Well, it's all, I mean, this is all very interesting. We'll go back to this campaign manager for just a second. This isn't a local guy. I want to make sure that we point that out. He's not a local guy, and so anybody that understands campaigns know that when you run a statewide race or even a congressional race, oftentimes you bring people in from out of state, especially those that are attached to the money end of a campaign. A finance director is often not local, and there are other people involved, key people in a campaign. They're not necessarily a local or statewide folks. And so that being said, this guy that was recently let go, I wouldn't be considered a political lightweight, but I do have to ask this question, and it's not unusual for people that have been fired by other candidates to get jobs again with other people. I get that, but weren't there some red flags with this guy? What was his name? Elon? Whatever his name is. Weren't there some
red... Elon.
Yeah, isn't there some... Weren't there some red flags here where the U.S. citizens should have said, wait a minute, before we... And because they were paying him some decent scratch.
Yeah, well, and there's two points here. One, from a campaign management perspective, your campaign manager should not be a de facto employee of consultants, which is what's going on here. If you look at Elon's track record, he is, like I said in the previous segment, a acolyte of the John Yab, John Weaver axis. So basically, they install this guy as a campaign manager, and then he approves the expenses if he really is the campaign manager. So you create this feedback loop of more and more money going out the door. Okay? And maybe this is the first indication with Elon being fired that Hoekstra's figured this out. Okay? But like you said, there have been some red flags. Like we mentioned that he was fired as the campaign manager for John Huntsman in New Hampshire, which, of course, that campaign just went swimmingly before and after he left. And I say that with full sarcasm.
Uh-huh.
But Elon is also the former president of the College Republican National Committee. Now, this is interesting in itself because two very prominent political icons both served as the College Republican National Committee's president. Care to guess who those two were?
Go for it.
Oh, well, okay. One was Lee Atwater, and the second was Karl Rove.
No, Karl Rove I knew. Karl Rove I knew.
So this position, he was broomed out of the CRNC as well. So there's a history of erraticness or some type of, I don't want to say scandal, but there is a history of him leaving jobs in less than stellar stellar circumstances. So, you know, to tie it back up with the first segment, I think that I think Hoekstra is desperate. He sees this money being blown out, and I think it's against his nature. And I think firing this kid, and I'm just going to say my opinion that he was fired, firing this gentleman, I think is the first indication that Hoekstra is trying to regain control of his campaign.
Well, we've got a lot of other things to get to. So I'm gonna leave the Hoekstra conversation for now. And the only reason I'm doing that, Joe, is I know that as early as next week we may be talking about it again.
Yeah, you know, Pete Hoekstra's the human gaffe machine. He'll say and do something stupid before too long. Like for example, his Lilly Ledbetter comments from last week we talked about. So, yeah, Hoekstra is a source of amusement and mirth for me, and I'll try to bring every misstep and faux pas from the campaign straight to your listeners.
Absolutely. We appreciate that. Susan Demas, who we recently had on the show and enjoyed her a great deal, by the way. I don't always agree with everything she has to write, but I do think she's, in the true spirit of journalism, one of the rare ones, to be honest with you. And I get the impression she's not that old. I don't know how old she is, and it doesn't matter. Anyway, you had sent me one of her more recent columns titled Rick Snyder Gets Outsmarted by the Ambassador Bridge Company. Again, I really do want to talk a little bit about this. What, of course, this article and you're referring to is the Maroon family deciding to go, quote-unquote, to the voters as to whether or not we need a new bridge built, which, of course, is not what this is all about anyway.
Well, and this is a very savvy move by the Maroon team. I've got to be perfectly honest. I agree with Susan and the opinion expressed in her column that they have outsmarted and out-tacticked, if that's even a word, outsmarted the Snyder folks at every turn. And here's the thing. The Snyder folks and by extension, the business community who opposes the Maroons, they've been caught flat-footed this entire time. If you go and look at the polling, the Maroon folks have completely dominated the discussion. Okay? They have dominated the messaging. A couple of things are going to happen if this gets to the ballot and they want it to, and the governor wants to defeat this. He's going to have to put together a coalition and actually raise and spend money to defeat this. And the Maroon people have gotten way ahead of them on the actual messaging. They've controlled the messaging debate here. And I'm not sure really there's any amount of money that or argument that Rick Snyder and his cronies can come up with to defeat this if it gets to the ballot.
Oh, I can't say who told me this, but I will say this, that I under good authority, and I believe it to be true, that the Snyder administration had no idea this was going to happen until it broke last Friday morning.
No, I think they were, like I said, I think they were completely caught flat-footed. They didn't think that this was a possibility. But look, you're dealing with Maroon, who is a billionaire, which means he essentially has unlimited access to capital.
All right, Joe Sano is with us. We'll come back, talk briefly a little bit more about this issue, and then what would you say if there's an 85-year-old man that, well, maybe didn't understand what a teabagger was or is, but once he found out, his reaction was maybe not what you might think. Who is that 85-year-old man, and what are we talking about? We'll get to that on the other side. This is First Shift. Stay with us.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
It is busy right now. We have some slow spots, but a couple of accidents are sticking out right now. One is on 8 Mile Road westbound just after Evergreen, where traffic is getting by in the left two lanes only. And then you have an overturned truck on Ryan Road southbound between 18 and 17 Mile. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
See, actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. Since Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All right. So we're ready.
The corporate money coup over America's electoral democracy has rampaged through the Republican presidential primaries and is now surging with even greater fierceness into this fall's general election. A handful of millionaires and billionaires pooling their corporate cash into secretive political arsenals called super PACs, which technically are independent from the candidates' campaigns. They dominated the GOP race. The one backing Mitt Romney, called Restore Our Future, was by far the richest, and it has made him the nominee. In this brave new world of millionaire and up politics, size matters. Not the size of the candidate's heart or ideas, but the size of the super PAC, which is now far richer than the candidates themselves. Against President Obama, not only will Restore Our Future be flush with special interest cash, but the super rich are also rolling out an even bigger, super-sized super PAC to back Romney. Created by political attack meister Karl Rove and called American Crossroads, it intends to pound Obama relentlessly with a staggering $200 million in bloody, ugly, negative campaign ads. Just three Texas billionaires, Bob Perry, Harold Simmons, and Robert Rowling, have already primed Restore Our Future with $4.4 million while also putting $16.5 million into American Crossroads. Just three men, $20 million, with much more to come, all three intent on spending whatever it takes to buy a presidency that will serve corporate power generally and do governmental favors for their corporations specifically. This is Jim Hightower saying, to the barricades, people. This crass coup attempt must be exposed and defeated, but also the Supreme Court's disastrous Citizens United decision, which allowed such a plutocratic threat to arise, must be repealed. Go to democracyisforpeople.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. My guest again, Joe DeSano, the partner in Main Street Strategies. And we're happy to have him, as we do every Friday at this time. If you have a question or comment for Joe, feel free, 888-552-3595. You can also send a email if you'd like, tony@thetonyshow.org. Either way, we will get the comments to Joe. And Joe, as we are talking about the new bridge, which we did talk about on the show this week because of this very issue, the bottom line remains a new bridge does need to be built, in my opinion. I think most people, unless you've been bought off by the Maroon family, agree, and even they agree, they just won't say it publicly. All this, to me, really does is delay the inevitability, which is, are we going to build the bridge? And I think the answer to that is yes. The question is just when.
No, you put it exactly right. The only question is when, and the only question is who owns it and controls it. And you know, this whole thing has been fraught with missteps from the Snyder administration from day one. I mean, I'll go back to the first State of the State where he snuck that in the speech at the last minute, didn't really let anyone know, which I think, you know, was a mistake. You know, those state senators here in Michigan were caught flat-footed. They have a very close relation. The Republican majority in the state Senate has a very close relationship with the Maroon family. The governor broadsided everyone involved, did very little to prep them for the shock that this was on his legislative agenda. And then, you know, they couldn't even get through a state Senate committee earlier or late last year. So, you know, there's a whole situation here where it's been the Snyder folks and the governor himself have been outthought and outsmarted at every turn by the Maroon guys. You got to give, from just raw politics, you got to give the Maroon people full credit for pulling this, for being able to delay and push this back. And now they've molded the public opinion to their side in a way that I think is going to be very difficult for the governor and the Chamber of Commerce and the Big Three and everyone else to turn back the clock. I think if this thing gets to the ballot, I think it's a slam dunk to win.
All right, let's go to the phones. Amir in Detroit joins us now. And my brother, good to talk to you on this Friday morning. What's on your mind today?
Good day, gentlemen, and happy Friday, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Job. This bridge should be owned by the public, not a private citizen or company. I agree with the Prime Minister of Canada. I think he's what he is. When he said it's ridiculous that a private company should own a bridge, which is for public works projects. And then won't this bring jobs to Michigan? Won't this actually employ people within our county?
Sure, Doug, Joe, that we can clearly, and thank you for the call, Amir. Of course, Joe, this will create jobs. It'll create jobs when they're building it. It'll create jobs after it's built, of course.
It's going to create good-paying union jobs when it's built. You know, here's the thing. I don't think there's very many honest brokers here who don't believe that this bridge should be built. I'm not even really all that interested in the merits of the argument. What I'm interested in is how the Maroon folks have just beat the governor over the head and caught him with his pants down here. It is shocking to me that someone as savvy as the governor has allowed this to spin out of control. And Amir makes a good point that this will create jobs. I think that's regardless of who builds the bridge, because you're not going to be able to hire scab labor to build this thing. You need highly skilled, highly trained, technologically advanced labor. And you don't get that with scab companies. You have to hire union folks. So, you know, I think that's a darn good point he makes.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's switch topics only for the sake of time and talk about one of the things that angered me this morning, actually yesterday, but certainly it manifested this morning, and that is a Republican-controlled piece of crap legislation that allows, and this moved very, very quietly overnight Wednesday night into Thursday. It's the cyber schools bill, although it is slightly modified from its original form. You want to talk about jobs. This now starts costing jobs, not creating them.
Well, what it does is creates a massive transfer of state treasury money. Instead of going to local public schools, this takes your tax dollars and shifts them to titans of private education, multi-million-dollar CEOs being in charge of your child's education, potentially. To me, it's just shocking. Some of the stories I'm hearing about the arm-twisting that was going on, Republicans were being threatened with, having primaries. They were being threaned from having campaign funding being withheld from them in order to just force this through. And I want to call out one Democrat who voted with the Republicans. Only one Democrat voted with these SOBs who are sending money to the CEOs, your money to the CEOs, and that's Chanel Jackson out of Detroit. She was the only one. And I've got to ask the question of, what was her price? What was this Judas's 30 pieces of silver?
Yep.
I want to watch and see what happens here.
Yep. I had this conversation with somebody from, I had this conversation with somebody yesterday about this very issue.
Well, we're having it now live and on the radio, and I want people to ask her. If you see her at Jeff Jack tomorrow, ask her.
Oh, I will. I'll be asking her. I want to know. I want to know. This is disastrous. In fact, tomorrow, Joe, I I'm giving the keynote address at the American Federation of Teachers Michigan Conference, and you've got to know that this is going to be issue number one.
Yeah. I can't imagine it's going to be an issue. And you know, they're at the forefront of education reform, but they're at the forefront of doing it the right way. And, you know, not creating a hole in the treasury that just CEOs from out of state suck money out. You know, very similar to what happens with the private prison stuff here in Michigan. This is just a duplication of some of that effort. And I, you know, listening to Jim Hightower in the break, he's darn right about this being an oligarchy.
No question. Hey, listen, I want to get to the two more quick things before we let you go. We've only got about 3 minutes left. The first one is, I had mentioned before the break about an 85-year-old guy in the teabagger comment. Who's that 85-year-old man?
Well, that 85-year-old man is Michigan's senior congressman, the senior congressman for the entire nation, Congressman John Dingell, who is a man of immense dignity and just the only word I can use to describe him is a titan. And he was going, there's a book coming out called Do Not Ask What Good We Do, and it's about the dysfunction in Congress. And it tells a tale of Congressman Dingell going on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And he consistently has referred to teabaggers as teabaggers, not knowing the
sexual connotation, right?
Yes, the sexual connotation associated with teabaggers. And there's a great anecdote in this book where one his chief of staff at the time, Michael Robbins, had to explain to the congressman what that was. And if you've ever been around the congressman, you realize that, one, he's got a great sense of humor, but there's a sense of dignity there that I definitely felt for Michael having to explain a graphic sex act to the congressman. But the congressman takes it all on stride, and he said, "Ha!" He said, "That's disgusting." And finally he said, "It's funny, and I'm going to keep using it." So God bless Congressman Dingell.
You know, and of course, I've been blessed to have him on the show repeatedly. I have been in his audience many times. I have nothing but the highest respect for this guy. Thank you for sending me that story, Joe, because I got the biggest kick out of it. I truly did.
I had the extreme pleasure of being his driver in 1995. In first half of 96, and what an education. It was political boot camp of the highest order, and I just owe him and his legacy so much that I just wanted to share this really amusing story with you guys.
It was great. It was great. Yeah. Well, let's travel over to the west side of the state for just a minute. And I understand the teabaggers over there are holding a little rally today that this audience might find, I don't know, amusing.
Yeah, the teabaggers are holding a Dump Debbie rally in Grand Rapids at noon. Now, the teabaggers are like to, you know, inform you that they are a spontaneous grassroots organization of patriots, and they have no financial or political ties to anyone but the Constitution. But the fact of the matter is that this is being organized and paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
Imagine
that. The Koch brothers and their pet organization, Americans for Prosperity, is sponsoring this teabagger rally. Now, I think we need to take data like this and shove it in the teabagger's face every time they try to tell you that they're a spontaneous grassroots organization of patriots. No. They're bought and paid for stooges of Americans for Prosperity and the Koch brothers. And it'll be interesting to see how they turn out, how many folks are duped into showing up outside Senator Stabenow's Grand Rapids office today. And it'll be interesting to see if maybe a counter-protest is organized as well.
I wouldn't be surprised. Joe, we're out of time. I just want to quickly mention Main Street Strategies again this year, one of the sponsors of the Michigan Summit. And we'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. We're done with you for today. You have a great weekend, and I'll look forward to visiting with you again next Friday.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Joe DeSano again with Main Street Strategies. Let's take a quick break here. We will be, by the way, open lines for the balance of the show. If you want to join us, feel free, 888-552-3595. But we do need to get to the break. So we'll do that here and wrap it up on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310
WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Executive Director of Progress Michigan, David Holtz.
When I started 3 years ago as Executive Director, we were just really a couple years old at that time. We had just really started up in 2007. And we had, even at that point, over 50,000 supporters who signed up with us. And this year, we just eclipsed over 80,000. And these are folks that only really come in as our signed-on supporters by doing something, taking action, engaging with our elected officials, showing up at events, signing petitions. It's not a passive thing to be a supporter of Progress Michigan. So I think out of all the things as I look back, that's one of the things that I'm really feel great about.
On 1310
WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people skills and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more. Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12th, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Tribbiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today.
Tweet. Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
You got the number. Give us a call 10 minutes before the top of the hour. You just heard the commercial for the Michigan Summit. Again, themichigansummit.org, themichigansummit.org. That was important there. I went last year, will be going again this year just as a participant, as a member of the audience, not as a participant. I got a lot out of it last year. I was barely on the air during last year's Michigan Summit, but it was so well worth my time. It's an all-day event. It is at the Kellogg Center. It is something you need to seriously consider doing, but you do need to register in advance, or at least they would prefer you did. So themichigansummit.org. Again, it's on Saturday, May 12th, which is actually just a couple weeks away. Main Street Strategies is one of the major sponsors of the Michigan Summit, so that's something that you may want to consider doing as you're looking forward. This weekend, of course, is Jeff Jack. You've been hearing the commercials on this show. We've been talking about it with Mark Brewer, who's chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. I will be there along with my wife. Looking forward to going. Any of you that will be there, please come and find me and say hello. We've got the after party after the dinner, which is going to take place literally right next door to where the dinner is. Chris Mihalakis and one of his friends will be DJing the after party, so we're looking forward to that. But there are a couple other things going on tomorrow that I do want to mention to you. One of them, Shannon McEvely talked to us about today, and that is the Detroit-Windsor Workers' Memorial Day, which is going to take place tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the UAW Ford Project Center at 151 West Jefferson. Again, that starts at 2 o'clock, and I want to Chris Mihalakis will be there, Rashida Tlaib, Reverend Alexander Bullock, Frank Woods, Jr. of UAW Region 1A, and John Philo from the Sugar Law Center, and many others will be there to pay memoriam to those that have been harmed or killed on the job. So please, if you have time, please come on out there. Also, want to remind you that there will be a combination fundraiser dinner for the Northville, Livonia, Plymouth, and Community and West Oakland County Democratic Clubs on Saturday, May 19th, 2012 at 7 p.m. It's going to take place at the Meadowbrook Country Club on West 8 Mile Road in Northville. There's going to be a sumptuous buffet and cash bar. Also, entertainment will be provided by Steve King and the Diddleys. If you want to go to that, the best thing to do is to send an email to James Amar, and that's James Amar, A-M-A-R, at wideopenwest.com, or give them a call at 734-776-1763. For those of you that are not aware, there is a job fair that will be going on today from 9 until 3, so it starts in just a few minutes at the Marriott Hotel in Troy. There will be 50 companies with 250 jobs available. You do need to dress appropriately. Please dress appropriately. And again, that is at the Marriott Hotel in Troy, starting at 9 o'clock this morning. So please, please pay attention and go to that. Hang out. Have a good time. Dress appropriately, more importantly. All right, a couple more quick announcements. I got them. All right, the Sierra Club, Thursday, May 3rd, from 6:30 to 9 o'clock at the Birmingham Unitarian Church. They're next in a series. In fact, may be the last one, unless they do a June program, but they normally take the summer off. And so if you want to attend their next lecture, it's Ah Wilderness, the 25th anniversary of Michigan Wilderness Heritage Act. And I'm going to maybe get the last name wrong, Wywode, W-O-I-W-O-D-E, who is director of the Michigan chapter. So, again, that's on Thursday, May 3rd from 6:39 at the Birmingham Unitarian Church. Of course, I will be speaking at the Young Democrats Mixer tomorrow at the Signature Grill in Detroit. So if you want to come to that, I will be speaking at about 5 o'clock. Certainly will be well done before we get to the dinner at Cobo Center. Wow, we got a lot of announcements. May 10th at the Birmingham Unitarian Church as well. The film. It's not an easy choice. Her Story, Dispelling the Negative Stigma of Abortion. So please, if you have interest in attending that, it's on May 10th, 6:30 p.m. at the Birmingham Unitarian Church. And then last but not least, I didn't realize I had so many. Women Unite. Yes, they do. Tomorrow at, again, the 28th at Roosevelt Park, 2 o'clock, 2 to 5. Let your voice be heard. The war, unite against the war on women. Just show up 2 o'clock at the Roosevelt Park. Let's go to listen to me, Jeff. Listen to me, Mark and Warren. Mark and Warren, and welcome him to First Shift. Mark, thanks for giving us a call this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. Yeah, not Mark from Birmingham or wherever that guy's from. Listen, I wanted to talk about the cyber schools as well as this bill that they're trying to push through the Senate to outsource the prisons, particularly I believe it is in Iona. You know, this Republican legislature ran on jobs. Where are the jobs? All I see them doing is outsourcing jobs and cutting jobs and adding low-paying jobs and replacing good-paying jobs. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, and we need to start holding them accountable. You know, Mark, in the very first segment of the show this morning at 6 o'clock, I was a little unglued. I did not start the day off in a very good mood, and I don't know that I'm ending it in a much better mood. I think I'm just dealing with it a little better. Let me say this though, and thank you for your call. Let me say this
Hold on real quick, Tony, yeah. Before you let me go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I'm going to miss you tomorrow at the AFT Michigan convention. We have my wife and I are having a baby shower for our first baby. So,
oh, congratulations!
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. But I am bummed to meet you. And real quick question. Are you going to be at all involved in the AFT Michigan Lobby Day in May?
Listen, I'm sure David will ask me to get involved, and of course I'd be more than happy to get involved.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call, Tony. You have a great weekend, and keep that fire in the belly.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, that's going to do it for callers for today. We're just going to have to get out of here. So anyway, let me just a couple quick things. If you folks, for those of you that are going to Jeff Jack tomorrow, again, I want to just say to you, if you see me, come up and say hi and chance to meet my wife. I know she and I are both looking forward to going tomorrow, looking forward to speaking to the young Democrats about the future of labor, which is quite bright here in the state of Michigan. And listen, no matter what happens, no matter what happens today, this weekend, and beyond, you control your future. Don't ever forget that. I don't care what anyone tells you. You control your future. Just remember that. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for an amazing week. This has been an amazing audience, as you always are. Tony at thetonyshow.org off the air. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
It is busy right now. We have some slow spots, but a couple of accidents are sticking out right now. One is on 8 Mile Road westbound just after Evergreen, where traffic is getting by in the left two lanes only. And then you have an overturned truck on Ryan Road southbound between 18 and 17 Mile. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 57 and sunny. Tonight, 37 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high of 47. And it's currently 35 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. This is